From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. All this week we're talking about China's growing power around the world. And today we turn to China's own backyard, Southeast Asia. The U.S. once exerted considerably more influence in that region. Now, China's influence in Southeast Asia is on the rise, even in countries that used to be firmly anti-communist. Here's NPR's Southeast Asia correspondent, Michael Sullivan.
It wasn't that long ago that Indonesia and China were mortal enemies.
The military still believe until yesterday, actually, that the yellow fever is coming down, you see, this threat of the north, you know.
Harijan Silalahi of Jakarta's Center for Strategic and International Studies says a 1965 coup attempt by Indonesia's Communist Party helped convince the Indonesian military of China's expansionist impulses. The coup was brutally suppressed by Indonesia's U.S.-backed military. More than 500,000 people, many of them communists, were killed in the purge that followed.
At that time, too, Vietnam was in the peak of confrontations, you see. And then, of course, in China, that is also very aggressive. And every day, nearly six times, radio picking attack the military who are in power here that eliminate the communists, you see. So the confrontation is there.
Indonesia's military leader Suharto saw the country's ethnic Chinese minority as a potential fifth column. As a result, public displays of Chinese culture and heritage were banned. Suhir Man is a caretaker at Jakarta's Vihara Dharma Bhakti Temple.
There were no dragon dances or public celebrations. If we wanted to observe the Chinese New Year, we had to do it quietly at home. Even the Chinese characters you see on the walls here were banned during that time, because Suharto believed they might contain a hidden political message.
10 years after the fall of Suharto, dragon dances are no longer forbidden, the Chinese New Year an official holiday. Indonesia's ethnic Chinese have their own newspaper, and Chinese firms compete with U.S. and European companies for Indonesia's vast reserves of oil, minerals, and gas. Hari Silalahi.
China is also less aggressive, more active in doing some cultural and business in this area. The present is more non-colonialistic, put it that way. They come here as scholar, as artists and diplomats.
Hmm? As friends.
And friends to a certain degree.
China is using soft power to make friends all over the region. This is one example. A Chinese language and culture center at Mae Falong University in northern Thailand. Several graceful pagoda-like buildings set around a pond, a center built and paid for by the Chinese government.
Oh, very clever. They are very clever.
Vanchai Sirichanap is the university president.
They understand the way of life here. And they understand the people, so the way they do is softer than what Americans did. So using friendship as a spearhead to deal the business.
And it's working.
And it's worked. In terms of Thai students, you know that 5 to 10 years ago, most of them want to go to study in the state. And now the idea changed, you know, a bit to China.
Cheap goods are another example of China's soft power, and they are making life better for some of the region's rural poor. Long Lao Mai, a small village in neighboring Laos, is literally at the end of the road from the ancient Lao capital, Luang Prabang, about an hour and a half drive down a pitted dirt road. Villagers here eke out a living farming, and the arrival of Chinese goods in the markets here a few years back, Headman Saidu Wu says, was a good thing. Before, he says, the markets only had goods from Thailand, and they were too expensive. Now we can buy second-hand clothes, blankets, and things for the kitchen from China, he says, which are far cheaper and almost as good. The biggest change, Chinese motorcycles like this one, that can be had for $500, less than half the price of one from Thailand.
Before, he says, when people were sick, we had to carry them out or wait for the bus, which comes just once a day. Now, he says, if someone is hurt or sick, we can take them straight to the hospital in Luang Prabang.
Soft power of a different sort can be seen here in the Philippines. This new rail line will link Metro Manila to Central Luzon, a $500 million project funded by a low-interest loan from the PRC, one of the newest and biggest donors in the region.
They obviously have been one of the fastest-growing economies in the world. They have had a very successful development experience, and so they have a lot to offer in terms of both knowledge as well as financing.
Larry Greenwood is vice president of the Asian Development Bank in Manila.
Certainly, our experience with China has been very positive in the sense that they are very good at helping design and execute projects, which have had very good impacts and outcomes in terms of development effectiveness.
And many of the projects funded by China come with few strings attached for the governments involved.
China brings to the table a different kind of package.
Titinampong Sudarak, director of the Institute for Security and International Studies at Bangkok's Chulalongkorn University.
They don't have conditions attached to foreign aid. The U.S., the Europeans, they're bent on the promotion of liberal democracies. They have principles about human rights and democratic rule and so on. China does not have the same benchmarks. China understands very well that it wants to build relationships with these countries in Southeast Asia.
China is going to stay. No? I mean, the U.S. can be distracted elsewhere. It can be a distant ally, no? With other priorities. No? China is right next door.
And, says Eileen Baviera, dean of the Asian Center at the University of the Philippines,
they've learned how to speak the language of the region of Southeast Asian diplomacy, multilateralism, you know, confidence building, much more than the United States has.
But not everyone is as sanguine about China's influence or its intentions. Demonstrators in Vietnam's capital, Hanoi, protesting what they see as Chinese aggression in the Spratly Islands, an oil-rich area in the South China Sea claimed by both countries. Such displays are rare in communist Vietnam, but were tolerated by the government in part because they tap into a deep well of nationalism with roots in Vietnam's long and often bitter experience with its neighbor to the north. More than 1,000 years of occupation and conflict that have left many Vietnamese deeply suspicious of China, now Vietnam's second largest trading partner. 23-year-old Vu Thi Tu Chang worries China is using its economic power to nibble away at Vietnam's territorial and cultural integrity.
I don't trust them at all. China is already the new colonial power in the region. If our government doesn't do something soon, we'll lose our sovereignty and our independence. If things continue like this, Vietnam culture will be gone. It will simply disappear.
Vietnam's government has a more pragmatic view of its powerful neighbor, whose appetite for raw materials has helped fuel Vietnam's booming economy. Economic integration and interdependence, another example of how China's soft power is transforming the region. Michael Sullivan, NPR News, Hanoi.